Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcast from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
We speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
And welcome back to the Ellis and Alfred Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Obviously, it was... Oh, never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go after beating the kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking a piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yeah, it's usually Destruct Toy with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. Sorry, I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dry, none's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes... are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, which is not. Wii U sales, not bad, says the Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. Don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. You know what, it's so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I never leave you locked alert with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the VGAs the other day, which I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy pipe, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish these fucking cunts would... actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie horse adventures.
Halo, well, does Halo have a story?
Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN, its staff, and its post-News Corp iteration. But I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell. It has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in an office and fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer. And literally, they just sort of fisses up the arse. But yeah, so yeah, welcome to the show. And good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay, wherever it is you're listening to this, whenever it is you're listening to this. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. You know, we go live, for the next couple of weeks it might be 9 o'clock UK time, but usually it's 8 o'clock. And then, as usual in America, it's always 3 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, good stuff this week. There's a bunch of news articles I can't wait to get to. And we have a decent topic that I'm sort of going to talk about, which makes me think about, you know, it's all about endings, like how a game ends, the endings that we get from games, that sort of stuff. Like, you know, was the ending deserving of what we had in the game? That sort of thing. That's what I'm talking about. It's a bit psychological this week. But yeah, so I'll get into the usual, usual where you can find us. So, you know, morelikeradio.com, as usual. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. That is the joint group between this show and Elite Speakers. Also, you can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Up to 71 now, which is quite good. I think we were like mid-60s last week, and then we get quite a few of them. And also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's @MLRGamerRadio. Let us know you're following us, and I'll follow you back. That way, it's we avoid all the spam. I'll get into what I've been playing this week, as bits and pieces here and there, not too much. I downloaded the demo for the Lego Marvel Superheroes game. It's really fun. I mean, it's basically, you know, your same old standard Lego game that you usually get, you know, that we have been getting. But it is really good fun. It was the Grand Central Station level, and I got to play as Iron Man, Hulk, and Spider-Man. And it was really, really good. I mean, it's sort of set just after the Avengers, because they make a lot of jokes. I mean, Tony Stark's is about, we just clean this place up and now it's messy again. Because basically what happens is the bad guys in the level are Sandman and Abomination. And it's really, really fun. I mean, I need to find out who the voice actors are, because I recognize a few of them. But it'd be, you know, really interesting to find out who they are. But yeah, I'd say it was a really fun thing. It was a very short level, but there was a bunch of stuff that can be done, like, you know, stuff to find and bits and pieces, you know. Once you've finished the level, once you've got all the bigger characters that are, you know, that, what the hell is the word I'm trying to find? People who've played the Lego games before, you know, you have like certain characters who have certain powers that do certain things that open up, you know, destroy the silver bits or the gold bits, or, you know, like in the DC Lego Batman 2, Superman could use his heat vision to destroy the gold parts. And then you use someone with the rockets to destroy all the shiny metal ones. That sort of stuff. That's what I'm on about. But yeah, so it basically starts off like you as Iron Man, which is quite good because you can sort of fly around the level. You know, use all the weapons, which is quite good. And then you have the Hulk, which I thought was quite funny. Because basically they've sort of got him. You can sort of transform between the Hulk and Bruce Banner, which was really, really fun to do. Because it's sort of... when you transform from the Hulk towards Bruce Banner, you'd be like, the head would change to Bruce Banner's head, and it would sort of shrink down, like it would pop and shrink, and it would become Bruce Banner. And then when he hulks up, he literally sort of, the character gets bigger, and then everything starts to rip apart. It's really funny. It's really, really good. And then later on in the level, you get to see Spider-Man. That's quite good because you can sort of web swing through the level. And it's basically, there's certain bits that you need certain characters. Like, I mean, they take a lot from, I mean, there's a thing. I think it's Telltale Games. I think it is. I can't see from where I'm sitting. I'm literally just looking at the box from an awkward angle. But yeah, they've had a lot of practice making games, making Lego games for Harry Potter, Batman, now Marvel. They've got the whole thing refined down to a fine art at the moment. And you know, there's certain characters, like the stronger characters, you need to move certain items. And then, you know, the bits where I had to use Spider-Man to sort of get past this puzzle, and you know, it's sort of, you know, uses the characters to their own benefits, you know, from what they can do, and it was quite fun to do that. Oh yeah, basically it's just sort of, you know, just outside sort of Grand Central, you're fighting the characters, you know, stuff's being thrown at you, you got to get from one side to the other. You fight the Abomination, and I did that as the Hulk. I mean, you know, it's basically a button bashing moment. It was, and then, you know, get into the station, and then there's Sandman there, and you've got to take him down. You've got to do certain parts, and you know, it was really fun. And the cutscenes are really good because there's a lot of jokes about. Well, there was like it's visual jokes. It's like, you know, Sandman's in a police car, and then you've got Abomination who's literally just half in, half out because he's so big. It's the usual Lego humor that, you know, we've all come to enjoy. But yeah, so that was pretty good. I can't wait for it to come out because I'm definitely going to pick it up. Also, more on Grand Theft Auto, still on my second playthrough. I've just sort of been doing bits and pieces here. I'm very close to the end. You know, when I do get to sit down and play it, I sort of will try and finish it off and have it all done with. But yeah, I say Pokemon has been taking up all of my time. I finished my version of my Y version. That's all done. I beat all the gym leaders. I beat the Elite Four. My levels were about, I think it was sort of mid to late 70s of when I beat them. And pretty much it was, I mean, I got my guides. That turned up last Friday, I believe. And it sort of helped me out through the final parts of the game. I mean, literally, I've got the guide in my hands now. There's not much to it. It is basically your basic walkthrough. But unlike the previous guides for Pokemon, there is sort of no Pokedex. So obviously, we're going to get a full, thick version of the Pokedex. I'm guessing sometime after Christmas, considering that... what is it? The Pokemon Transfer? Yeah, the Poke Transfer and Pokebank are being launched, I think it's December 27th. So hopefully, I'm thinking early January, that we'll get a full Pokedex with all 719 Pokemon. That would be really good. It'd be a giant, thick book, I know that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to sort of getting that one. But I am having lots of fun with it. It's the whole presentation of... I'm going to talk about the ending of Grand Theft and the... of Pokemon. So basically, like, the ending stuff I'll talk about in a few minutes... It is going to be heavily spoilers, so, you know, whatever. But yeah, so the Elite Four was really fun to fight. Most of what I was fighting, I saw what Pokemon they had, so I basically literally just pulled this Pokemon out, use that attack. Yep, one hit KO, not a problem. But their presentation was really good. Each had their own rooms. You finish your Victory Road and you go to the Pokemon. It's like a big sort of... sort of cathedral type building where the I don't know if it's the Indigo Plateau, it's where the Pokemon League is, and basically it was sort of basically one big giant cathedral, and there was like separate, was one big room, and then you sort of follow it and it lead you to four separate areas, and basically in each area was where each of the Elite Four were, and you know, they were pretty simple with my guide. I actually knew who I was fighting, so I had made sure my Pokemon were leveled up high enough, and, you know, that was all fine. But the whole presentation, when you walk into their own specific room, the fight, there was one of the members of the Elite Four who specified, who basically just used fire-type Pokemon. And there was big flames that shot out of the ground. I mean, you've seen in the trailers that we got before the game came out, you saw that, you basically saw one of the Elite Four there, the fires just shot out the bottom of the floor, and each room was different. I mean, the steel one was quite good, but I mean, I think my favourite one was the dragon one, because there's one trainer who specifies in dragon-type Pokemon, basically sort of a set of wings just opened up, and there was like the two sort of cannons in the floor where basically the other room had fire, and one had water. There was just sort of like smoke, purple smoke, and it was really good. What the hell was it? I'm trying to think. I think the water one was pretty good as well. And, you know, basically the whole room just flooded and you were just walking across. And it was just really, really entertaining. I beat them, not a problem. The champion was this, I'll spoil it. Was basically some fashion woman that you met early in the game. But literally, I mean, there was no, I think my big sort of problem with the parts of the game. I mean, There was no, I mean, unlike Black and Black 2, Black White, you know, White, Black and White, Black and White 2, that, you know, the previous generation, we had some sort of connectivity between us and the gym leaders, where in this game it was like, yeah, you just fight several of the trainers in the gym, and then you fight the leader, you win, get a badge, and you move on. There was no, there was nothing to it that we got from, you know, that we got like in the previous gen. I mean, it's sort of, I mean, I'm still standing by my statement. I think, I think this feels like half a game. But I mean, there is so much in it that is basically, you know, now you've got a game that has to cater for 719 Pokemon, the Mega Evolutions, the whole 3D graphics. I mean, I can understand why they do. I mean, the story was terrible. I'm not too fussed about that. I'm sort of get through the end and, you know, do it. But yeah, the ending was really good. I'll talk about that when I do the main stuff. But yeah, I mean, right now I'm sort of completing my Pokedex. Basic sort of, I mean, I'm not really doing the whole Pokedex because basically I have the 649 Pokemon already saved on my Black 2 cartridge. But basically when we do get the Pokebank, I will transfer it all across. My main thing now is to try and get, all the new Pokemon, the 69 new ones, filled up. And I basically, I'm close. I think I've got, what have I got? I think I've got one that, a couple that I just need to basically breed them to get their first evolution. I need to transfer over, well, when I do get it in my X version, the, Xerneas, that needs to be transferred over, which I'll try and do. But yeah, so that's pretty much done. And now I'm basically, just going to the Baton Maison, well, what basically was the world tournament, the battle tower, that basically where you earn all your battle points. Cause I tried to, use the, what's it, the super training, and it just wasn't, I might as well just be, you know, cut one of my arms off and try and use it that way. Cause it's basically is designed for right-handed people. And as a lefty, it's a bit tricky and it's a bit too hard for me to use. So basically I am, you know, getting as many battle points as I can, which I've done a lot of today, trying to get the battle items. And once I've done that, but the other thing I have been doing is trying to find all the TMs, all the, technical moves, just to fill it up, get all the hundreds, getting close. I mean, there's ones that I need like, 70,000 poker dollars, and I know I haven't got that, so I have to beat the Elite Four a few more times just to get the money up. But yeah, I say I'm just sort of going through it slowly and slowly, just trying to finish all the stuff. I mean, I'm buying all the clothes that I get, trying to find as many TMs. I mean, I've done a lot of growing of berries. What do you call it? The fuck is it? The berry fields, I think they're called. Just doing stuff with that. I'm basically just going on Cerebee, looking up anyone that's got, because there's supposed to be like 13 mutated berries. So basically you get, you know, certain berries, two berries together, you plant the trees next to each other, you add sort of mulch and water, and then, you know, you'll get, lucky enough, you'll get a mutation, and then you can sort of, you know, grow a whole load of berries. And that's basically, it's 13 mutations, so it's basically trying to find all of them, and then try and grow as many berries as possible. But yeah, I say, I'm having a lot of fun with that, you know, going back every now and again, weeding. I mean, I did try it this morning, the Friend Safari. I'm not exactly too sure what it's all about. I mean, I know it's basically everyone's been trading friend codes, like get as many people on your friends list, because everyone, when you go to the Friend Safari, it shows you them and what sort of type of Pokemon that you're allowed to find in that certain area. And it just basically gives you like special ones or rare ones, or I'm not exactly too sure how it works, but I mean, I know the Pokemon that you do get from the Friend Safari are around level 30, yeah. And basically mine are at 70 and 80, so I'm basically just killing everything I fight. But when I do get into it more, and, you know, I mean, I'm still waiting for information. That's what I sort of could do with the big complete Pokedex guide, to just show me all the abilities of the hidden ones and, you know, just give me all the information so that way I can work on my team, which I'm actually got ideas going through my head now of what I want for the next year's VGC tournament. I mean, you know, I had a battle with James from Pokemania, you know, studyboxfm.com. They go live Thursdays at 8 p.m. UK time, that is. So basically this time on a Thursday. We had a battle. It was a bit sort of fucked up because I didn't know how many we were using, he was using, and then basically we're just ending up swapping. He was using two, and then I used six, and then basically just swapped around, and then basically just went into a single battle, six on six, and I won. Very, very close. There was a point in it where it could have gone either way, but it was really fun, to have about. I mean, it wasn't anything serious, because, I mean, I'm just sort of, my main Pokemon are in my Black 2 copy, my shiny Charizard's there, and all the Dittos. I mean, I'm sort of doing that as well. I'm Ditto hunting, trying to find ones with the best stats. I mean, I'd say I am waiting for Serebii and Smogon to sort of catch up with everything so they, I can get decent ideas on what we're supposed to be using, because, I mean, I am planning now ahead for the VGCs. I mean, I'm in several different Pokemon groups on Facebook, just trying to basically, find out where I want to know when the tournament is, so that way I can book up the hotel, get time off work, get my train tickets, it won't be till about April anyway, so I've got months, but it's basically just trying to get everything ready, and we've got whatever tournaments they're going to throw at us between now and then. I mean, because I'm looking forward to seeing what people use. So I think we're going to have like one tournament at least before the Pokebank and Poker Transfer comes out. So we'll have whatever we have from this from we have so far that we have access to use before we can transfer all our Pokemon across. And I'm looking forward to it basically. But yeah, I think about stuff. It's like with a new fairy type, which sort of balances the game, I think, and beats dragons. So basically, I want some poison types that beats the fairy, and then it's all just ideas that are running through my mind. And now we have the mega evolutions, and I'm thinking, well, maybe that Pokemon might be good if I do something with it. And I mean, I'm just thinking as well. There was ones I got because I was going to do something like a sort of water team for the VGCs. It's like, now with the fairy, it's like I might have to do sort of poison, bug, grass sort of type, or a fire team. I don't know. Wait and see, to be honest. If whoever can get the leg up on the competition in this first VGC tournament, for the UK, the UK tournament will, go straight to Washington next year, which is, basically where I want to go, for the tournament. But yeah, I think that's all I'm done with the Pokemon. Yeah, just doing bits and pieces, doing what I can, finding all the items, using the battle points to buy the power items, that sort of stuff. I think that's it, really. I think that's all I've been playing. Yeah, not too much this week. I mean, I literally scattered all my games on the floor so I can have a look at stuff, but when I'm doing the endings topic in a few seconds. But yeah, I say, there's a whole bunch of something. XCOM I've still got to play. Metro Last Light I want to do a second playthrough. Probably another playthrough on Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater. Dragon's Dogma I've still got to do. Grand Theft Auto I need to finish. So much stuff. I mean, considering that we got Kynes is in the chat. Hello, mate. I'm trying to think, because we got Batman coming out. It's Tuesday, isn't it? I think Batman's out in the States for people already. You lucky sods. And then it comes out on Friday and I'm buying it. Thing is, though, because Brain Stew did the New York Comic Con, Troy Baker was there, who's the voice of the Joker. He's coming to the London Comic Con on this weekend. I'm like, well, shit, I can go, but, it's a bit too late, to be honest. But, I mean, it's one of those things, I can go and meet the guy and say hello, get an autograph, and probably try and get some audio stuff, or I can just sit indoors and play the new Batman game. And I know I did that on purpose. Kins is in chat, so take the piss, because I said his name wrong. I'd rather just sort of stay indoors and play Batman this weekend. And we've got, because Batman this weekend, and then we have Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed's next Tuesday, globally. I don't know about globally. Because in the UK it was brought forward a few days. So basically we don't have to wait till Friday. We get it on the Tuesday, same as America. Which is basically what I want. It'd be nice if we did get a game on the same day, because I mean, there's not many times I get a weekend off, And Matty's in the chat as well. But yeah, I say, you know, Batman, Assassin's Creed, two of the big games on my list for this year. I mean, we've still got the Lego Marvel game, which I'm interested in getting. We've still got Call of Duty, Battlefield 4. Yeah, there's still so much to come out, and you know, I'm thinking now all the time about the the Game of the Year show. I've got so much stuff running through my head. I mean, I'm really looking forward to doing that show. It's, you know, it's only a couple of months away. We're like, shit, we're near the end of October now. You know, it's basically 2 months away. I'm not sure. Hang on one second. Let's check how many weeks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think it's literally the last. Yeah, that's pretty good actually. It's the 31st of December is the basically going to be the end of the year show, because it is the end of the year. So hopefully, before you all go out and start drinking and partying the night away, you will tune in and listen to this show when I do the Game of the Year. I'd say I've got a load of list of Game of the Year questions and stuff that I'd like people to interact with. So if you listen to this and you're not in the Facebook group, get yourself in the Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby. Tons of people in there. You know, I posted yesterday some pictures of, because I want, you know, big Pokemon fan that I am. I saw some shirts on Redbubble. We need to get them as a sponsor. So I bought some shirts off there. I got, do you know the Keep, was it Keep Calm? I got Keep Calm and Catch 'Em All shirt. And I got this, basically it was, what the fuck was it? The James Bond, the classic James Bond where he sort of walks across the screen and shoots at the, you know, in the blood, in the gun barrel thing. And basically got that, and it's got Ash in it holding a Pokeball, which was pretty cool. I'm halfway through the, but I'm not saying your name right then. Fuck you. No, get yourself in the Facebook group. I'm just sort of, just having a piss take with, Kinney's. I've lost my train of thought now. He fucking threw me off. What the fuck was I thinking? Oh, yeah, Pokemon shirts. And the other one is it's the Banksy's, what the fuck is it? Throwing one of his artworks done, but it's, instead of whatever's been thrown, it's got a Pokeball in his hand, the sort of silhouette of a man sort of thing. It's quite a good shirt, and I bought bought all three. Cost me a little bit of money, but it's all worth it. Just hopefully, when they do get it, it's, it all fits, to be honest. Not getting any smaller. But yeah, I know I'm literally got half an hour into the show already, and I haven't even touched the topic. But one sec. Jesus, my throat's getting fucking dry. One sec. Oh, it's better. Sorry, need a drink. Oh, bloody rash on my legs and a rash in my throat now. Oh. That's better. But yeah, I say other stuff, Pokemon related. I got to see the new Pokemon Genesect movie. It is fucking awesome. It's one of the best Pokemon movies I've seen. There's some discrepancies going on. I was talking to this Spanish guy last night on Facebook. I think he's Spanish, but he lives out in Tunisia, I think. And it's like, because basically this movie has Mewtwo in it. And it's basically what happens is Team Plasma created a Pokemon Genesect, who, you know, people in the Pokemon community know Genesect. Yeah, the Bug Steel, I think, yeah, Bug Steel type, giant plasma cannon on its back. And basically they're all trying to, what the hell is it? They escape, they're trying to find a place to live, and then something happens and Mewtwo shows up. But this going on about how it's a Mewtwo, different Mewtwo to the one we got in the first Pokemon movie, mainly because it's been voiced by a woman, which I don't get. There's so much bullshit around this, considering that, you know, you can only have one Mewtwo. That was the whole point. Team Rocket made Mewtwo. It's fact. We all know this. And now they're saying that there's a second one. Which, you know, it makes sense considering how the story goes. It's like Ash has no clue who this Mewtwo is, but just that doesn't really make sense. It's all because, I mean, just the connectivity between the movie and the game is slightly different, which I will explain in a second when I talk about the second thing I've seen. But yeah, it's a really good movie. There's tons of action. you've got basically the red Genesect, which is the shiny sort of version of Genesect, because Genesect's normally purple. But yeah, it's basically just Genesect and Mewtwo beating the shit out of each other, which is pretty good for a decent hour. I mean, the film's only an hour and 10 minutes, but it does go past really slowly. I mean, you know, there's tons of action, tons of story, good characters, and you know, it's a really good, because compared to, I mean, the last movie, the Keldeo movie, was okay. I mean, you know, I couldn't pronounce his last name, but it's Vic, who was the voice of Edward Elric in the Full Metal Alchemist series. I've met the guy, nice guy. I want to break my cock off in his girlfriend, because she's really hot, nice, sexy redhead. But yeah, so he's a nice guy, and I gave the movie a chance. I met him at one of the London Comic Cons a few years back. Nice guy. Thought my name was cool, which is pretty good. But yeah, I gave it a chance. I mean, it has all the Pokemon that you want to see and that sort of stuff, the legendaries, blah, blah, blah. But this one is really good. There's tons of new Pokemon that you see, and it's just a really good movie. And also, it took me a couple of minutes to talk about that. The other thing I did see, I got to watch this on YouTube, the Pokemon Origins, which is a 4-part series, detailing the character of Red, who is basically the character from, who is the character from, the Pokemon Red and Blue and Green games. Basically, you know, for those who don't know, in Japan it came out as Red and Green, where, we got Red and Blue in the rest of the world. Yeah, 2 years later. I think it was Red and Green, yeah. But yeah, so, you know, and Red is the main character who basically Ash was sort of moulded on, and Green is basically, well, in our version was Blue, who was basically modelled after Gary Oakey's Professor Oak's grandson. And it's a really decent series. I mean, I watched it in Japanese. The English dub does come out in a few weeks. I'm not interested in seeing the English dub. When the English dub comes out on a DVD, then I'll see it. But I'm happy enough with the Japanese, the original Japanese version. I mean, I've done that with like several films I've seen. You know, Japanese version is much better. Cool. I'm talking really fast. I must have drunk a lot of soda before this. But yeah, I say it's really good. It's weird. I mean, they sort of give a sort of, it's weird because, I mean, the game, original games came out in 96 out in Japan. And basically it's supposed to be modeled on that. I mean, the first episode, it's, Red gets, goes to Professor Oak's lab, gets his Charmander because his dad had it. yeah, Matty's taking a piss out of me as usual. Yeah, I'm not even going to read that. But yeah, no, it is really good. I mean, the first episode, it's basically Red, gets his Charmander, as I said. He goes, he catches all Pokemon. I mean, his thing is he wants to catch every single Pokemon in the game. And he basically just sort of goes around catching Pokemon. Then he meets Brock. He has the end of the episode, he goes to Pewter City for the gym battle. Beats Brock, what have you. Then it's like, every episode has certain smidgens. I mean, the second one was basically about Lavender Town, but when the episode starts, it did show his adventure. Like, Red had beat Misty and Lieutenant Surge, got a couple more badges. He caught some more Pokemon. And, you know, every episode he's using different ones. I think one of the later ones, it does show him catching a Pikachu, which, you know, does sort of, there's no sound to it either. It's literally just he throws a Pokeball and catches a Pikachu. But yeah, it's really, really good. But yeah, I say it, you know, shows him, beating it. What's that thing with episode 4, the final one? It doesn't even show him beating the Elite Four. It's just like, yeah, he went and beat the Elite Four, using like a Dodrio, which is weird. Why would anyone use that bloody Pokemon? And then he fights Green at the end and wins. And it's quite good. I mean, it's like the last episode is really good because it's like about half an hour long. Even the other ones were about 20 minutes. He beats Green and they both, Professor Oak, brings him into the Elite Four, the Hall of Champions. Then basically, and it's quite good. And then he goes off to the end because he hears about Mewtwo, because Green went to fight Mewtwo, and then, but earlier Red was given the Mega Stones, which that's one of the things I thought was weird. You know, considering that the Mega Stones had just been introduced in this studio, this generation. Basically, when he was in Lavender Down seeing Mr. Fuji, he was given the Mega Stones. And, you know, basically what happens is at the end when he fights Mewtwo, he gives his Mega Stone to Charizard, and it turns into the Mega Charizard X, the black one, with the blue flames. And, you know, basically fights, and he catches Mewtwo at the end, and then he sits down, and he's like, well, there's, you know, Mewtwo, there must be something before that, which is Mew, so it's like, there's more to catch, and it's really good. I mean, if they do more of this, I'll be really happy. It was a really good miniseries, and, you know, I do look forward to watching it in English eventually, but there's no hurry. I mean, I got my satisfaction from watching it, in Japanese, and it did me fine. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think that's all the stuff I've got to mention for that, and the games I'm playing. That's a lot of stuff. Whew, jeez, I'm tired already. But yeah, so we're into this week's topic, which is basically going to be about endings in games. You know, everything that starts must have an ending. I mean, I have played some really amazing games, you know, for the past nearly 30 years now. Well, I don't know, hang on. We'll say 25 years. No, hang on, no. That's a bit, we'll say 20 years, because my first, you know, regular listeners to the show know that my first sort of console that I did actually get and was allowed to have was a Game Gear, which is sweet. But yeah, so there's so many different games that I've played over the years, you know, stuff that I have managed to finish, and, you know, it's just, you know, I can't even say, I'm trying to think of stuff, like, randomly off the top of my head, it's like, I mean, I've got all the stuff on the floor. Like Metro Last Light, I finished that. Lego Batman, I finished that. Metal Gear Solid, I've finished most of them. That, you know, CD-based Metal Gear Solids anyway. Borderlands 2, Grand Theft. And my thinking is that, I mean, there's so much I can say that I will be saying until I run out of breath and choke and on my own vomit from speaking too quickly. But yeah, I mean, the endings are, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to think where to start. I'll ask a question, usual talk to myself, sort of question, even though I've got people in the chat. Hang on, let me call up the page. When we have games, you know, when the ending happens, are we always expecting a happy ending? I mean, I've seen with certain things that we've got recently, that the endings mostly have been happy, but They've had like a spin on them. I mean, all right, I'll go spoil the ending for The Last of Us. Basically, what happens is at the end, you basically, Ellie's in trouble, you rescue her, and then you take her away. That's as basic a spoiler as I'm getting. But once you get to the end of the game, it's like you've taken her back to the village where your brother was, where Joel's brother was. But yeah, and I think it's like, well, Ellie asks about, you know, she asks about the people that you were with, that, you know, you took her from, that woman who, that sort of doctor woman. And it's like, well, I think I killed her. I don't know if you can not kill her, but I killed her because of the way I felt. I mean, that's the thing with the ending. What I was thinking about this earlier. When we do get, sorry, just read what Matt said. He says, SimCity has the best ending ever, hands down. What you mean, when it comes up, error saying, can't get online to log on to server. I think that's the beginning of SimCity. Yeah, I know he's taking a piss because SimCity doesn't end. Yeah, it's usually when Godzilla attacks or something. See, it's been so long since I played a SimCity game. But yeah, I mean, I think about stuff like, when we get the ending we get from a game, should it have, I mean, the matter of what it makes us feel, should the main part of the game have actually made us accept the ending that we've got? I think about what we had with the Mass Effect stuff. I mean, you know, people listening, I didn't do the show before the Mass Effect 3. Well, there was a big controversy about Mass Effect 3, the ending, how it was so short, there wasn't enough detail given towards what happened to all the characters. That's what makes me think. It's like, several times, people listening will understand. It's like, we've had movies and TV series and they've ended. And it's like, well, what happens to this character after? What happens to this character? I mean, it's the same. I'll pull out James Bond movies for a second. All right, the birdie's been banging the whole movie. What happens to her afterwards? Because the next movie, it's a different bird. And, getting very London there for a second. Matt Easton Chase says, even though it was visually shitty, he loves Bionic Commando and the feeble attempt at cinematic ending in 3D. Yeah. I never played the original. I mean, I've played the recent stuff, the remakes and the sequels and stuff. Yeah, and he says about Ocarina of Time. I still haven't finished Ocarina of Time. I've still got that to play as well. I might just go on YouTube later. My voice is going. I might go on later and look it up. Because I'm not that fussed about finishing it, to be honest, because it's a game I've been trying to finish for 15 years. With Mass Effect, they had the problem. It was like, well, this ending's not good enough. But it's because you think about this sort of hopefully wraps it up slightly. With the Mass Effect series, it's a series that's loved by a great many millions of players. I mean, I love Mass Effect. Half the gaming community on the stage, IGN, Kotaku, Destructoid, all them people, everyone there loves Mass Effect. It's one of the most much loved series in games ever. And it's like, well, we put all this time into it. We customized our characters. We chose this option. We chose that option. We did this. And that was sort of the disappointment with Mass Effect 3. The fact that all your choices seemed to mean fuck all at the end of it. It basically came down to you being, you were given a path. Right, I don't know if I've spoiled Mass Effect, but Mass Effect 3, whereas at the very end, you're on the Citadel weapon thing, and it gives you a choice. It goes, you either go down the left, you go down the middle, or you go down the right-hand side. And basically, that's it. There is no, thing. It's literally, you die as this, you die on this side, on the left-hand side, you die going in the middle, or you can die going on the right. But then, they change the endings, by adding bits and pieces, which was even the bits at the end, the bits that were added to the endings of the games, the video that we got, the closing cinematics. There we go. Even that wasn't happy enough for some people because most of it was actually just stills. To be honest, it wasn't really. It's one of the things. It's like the hundreds of hours that people invested into this game. We want to get some sort of closure and self-gratification from a game we've played. I mean, The Last of Us, I was happy with the ending. I mean, it's one of the best games I've ever played. Because it ends, but it leaves itself open for more stuff to happen in that universe, in that world, which, to be honest, I wouldn't mind going back to and exploring it, but I've got to wait for my mate to finish playing my fucking game. It's the same as well with Grand Theft Auto. I'm going to spoil the ending. Basically, you kill all the bad guys. and you always, all three of you walk away as millionaires because of the last big job, which the last big heist that you do is amazingly fun to play. I say with that, it's like, God, my throat's going. Even at the end, there still feels like there could be more added to the game, which I'm hoping we'll get DLC-wise. Like more heists and stuff, but it's just things. We want to feel that we've got some sort of, we want to feel like developers. I mean, I want to feel that the developers have put enough time and energy and care and love into their games that the gameplay has been fun. I've enjoyed, I'll take Metro Last Light for a thing. I've enjoyed playing as Atyon. I've enjoyed the character. His interactions with Anna, fighting all the mutants, the story, the characters, and the ending. I mean, the ending they gave me was, because there was two endings. I still haven't gone through it or played through it again, but I need to look at the second ending on YouTube. But yeah, I mean, the ending I got is basically Atyon dies from blowing up the underground metro station, I think it was. I can't remember exactly, the sort of big weapons hub. And basically it's sort of Anna telling the story because she's had your kid, you know, that's it. It's like, I want to feel some sort of, you know, happiness towards it. You know, I think about, I'm thinking about Metal Gear Solid, the end of the first game. I mean, it's the thing, the gameplay as well, the stuff they've had you do, the different game mechanics, I'm just trying to think now. You know, the Metal Gear Solid, because the game has to pull you in. I'm trying to think of an analogy. You know, not exactly pull you in, then spit you out again. It's got to pull you in, chew you for a bit, and then, you know, then spit you out slowly, I think. I don't know. I'm trying to think of words. It's just not really coming to me. I'm fucking ADD and, you know, whatever the bloody thing's wrong with me. But yeah, I mean, stuff like the Metal Gear Solid, the first one. I mean, I loved it. I played that game like five fucking times. It's sort of, you know, you go to Shadow Moses, you don't know anything, what's going on, you're just doing this. But then the way the story's told to you, you feel for the character. I mean, it's very upsetting. I say, I'm going to spoil Metal Gear Solid, the first one that got on the PlayStation. So you've got about 20 years to play it. But yeah, I think with when Sniper Wolf, you kill Sniper Wolf, and Otacon, he's crying. You know, you feel for the characters. This was someone he loved. And in Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, when EE dies, you know, it's just sort of, the game has to make you have, you know, break down your heart or soul and give you just a connection, basically. But the thing is, if the game can make you feel connected to what you're playing, you know, if the developers make you, you know, you feel connected to the characters. I mean, me, I feel very connected to the... This is why I'm pissed off that Kiefer Sutherland is voicing Solid Snake in the new Metal Gear game. And, you know, and Kevin Conroy isn't voicing Batman. You know, I have a great love for these characters and these people, the actors who portray them. You know, David Hayter is fucking Solid Snake. Kevin Conroy is Batman. It's this thing. It's these iconic... And, oh... something, little thing I saw that I thought was quite funny. I think it's Ubisoft are moaning about the fact that, Splinter Cell hasn't sold that many copies. When I posted on their Facebook, I was like, well, yeah, no shit. You took away Michael Ironside as the voice of Sam Fisher, an iconic actor that has been acting for 30, I'm not even going to say, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to think of him as getting old. I want to think of him like being just who he is, which is basically who he has been for the past 30 odd years, as the same person. You know, Michael Ironside is the voice of Sam Fisher. You know, Kevin Conroy, Batman, Mark Hamill, you know, I can sort of go either way with. I mean, he's a great Joker, but Troy Baker's, you know, coming into his own. But yeah, I say these sort of characters, it's all about how the game makes us feel, that when we do get to the end, we want to be satisfied, which is basically what happened with Mass Effect. People weren't satisfied. I was satisfied. I was happy with the ending. You know, basically Shepard dies, or unless you chose the bad ending, he lives. But there's new stuff going on with Mass Effect 4 and, you know, that sort of stuff. But then, I mean, I think about Assassin's Creed. I mean, the new one's coming out next week. I'm a bit unsure about this new Assassin's Creed. I've got to say it now. This could be my last Assassin's Creed game that I play. The thing, we got no real closure on what happened at the end of Assassin's Creed 3. But this one, I mean, I'm looking forward to being Edward Kenway, exploring the world, fucking more time on a boat, more ocean battles. Me just shouting at the top of my lungs, Rose and Mrs. Marston, all that, you know, that seafaring stuff. But yeah, I mean, I just think about, you know, what happened with Desmond, what really happened with Desmond, what's happened with this character, you suppose, the some sort of AI that you set loose, or this alien thing, you know, what happened? I mean, it was such a big cliffhanger in a game that I've... I was just trying to think, is there any other games that have left a bigger cliffhanger in them than, what do you call it? Matt used to say, no, I'm not saying that Assassin's Creed is going to be my game of the year. I don't even know, because I'm thinking now, maybe Grand Theft Auto, but I'm like, yeah, but there's other stuff that I've played. And I think game of the year, I have no idea what my game of the year is going to be yet. I mean, there's still so many games I want to play, and you know, I think about stuff like Dishonored and, you know, other stuff. You know, there's so much shit that I've played just over this past year that could be anything. I don't know. I have to sit down and think about it. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, I think about Assassin's Creed, I don't know. I want it to keep going on playing Assassin's Creed. I have great fun with the history, learning out the characters. I mean, I did actually start to watch the Borgia, Jeremy Irons TV show, but it just got really boring. I was like, shit, I know all this stuff. Just give me a guy in a white hood and I'll be happy. Assassin's Creed KKK edition. But yeah, I think, you know, Metro Last Light, Borderlands 2. The ending was amazing. I mean, the ending that we did get what happened best with the board game, the final bit of DLC we got for Borderlands 2. Tiny Tina's the basic, like, the Dungeons and Dragons board game you played, and that was basically the real ending for Borderlands. To be honest, with, you know, there was a statue of Roland, which, you know, Brick lifted up Tina and she kissed the statue, and then, you know, then there was the statue of I can't remember what the fuck, Mordecai's bird, Bloodwing, yeah, his bird. There was a statue for it as well, and it's like, I'm ready for the next Borderlands. I'm looking forward to it, to be honest, but I say I don't really want to. Wow, Jesus Christ. Well, I said that last year, did I? Matt is in chat saying about it was a last year's Game of the Year reference. I don't know. But yeah, I think about other games as well with decent endings. I mean, you know, I'm a big Final Fantasy fan. I mean, Final Fantasy VII, I can't really remember the ending at the end, how it ended. I mean, I have the Advent Children movie, so I know, you know, the Earth opened up and basically all this, you know, holy materia, the spell worked, and you got to save the world from the meteor being hit. But I think about other stuff like Final Fantasy VIII. You know, you're basically right at the end of the universe, fighting the big sorceress. The whole universe sort of collapses in on itself and ends, and you've got Squall running through the vast emptiness of whatever it is he was standing on, screaming, you know, at the top of his lungs, trying to find the woman he loved, Rinoa. And you know, that was a really good ending. I mean, that's a really good ending. I would say, I think about songs and stuff that we're getting as well, but I'll jump to that in a sec. But yeah, I mean, you know, the ending of Final Fantasy VIII, you've won the big battle, basically, there's nothing left, and then you're basically running through trying to find her, and you basically find her on the floor, and then you sort of shout a name, try and shake her to wake her up. She wakes up, and then basically the whole universe just kickstarts itself, and then it ends. It has the great big song at the end, and then it was the big sort of CGI sort of ending where I can't remember what the fuck his name is. The blonde haired guy with the sort of the Mike Tyson tattoo on his face. He's eating hot dogs in the shit. I need to play Final Fantasy VIII again. But then we have like Final Fantasy IX as well with you know, Zidane. It looks like Zidane dies and everyone leaves the big boss. After the big boss fight, he stays behind, and then, you know, there's basically at the big city, I think it was called Alexandria, I can't remember. I just think about, you know, how, you know, the characters, you know, Dagger, she's there, and then Zidane shows up, and then basically they hug, and then she's sort of hitting his chest, like, you know, why did you leave me? That, you know, that's the thing. To get a decent ending, we have to get the right feeling from the characters, from the game. I mean, there is so much work that goes into making games. It does make me wonder about, you know, just why so many games do so badly. I mean, we basically go through a sort of phase where it's, we have your action games, we have your drama type games, we have your sports games. I mean, the sports games, they can sort of take a back seat to this conversation. But you have your action ones, say Metal Gear Solid, it's tactical espionage action. Borderlands 2, first person shooter action game. But yeah, I mean, when they do plug in a decent bit of story, like Metro Last Light, Borderlands as well, I can agree with that. Metal Gear Solid. The story's got to be there. I mean, even though the Metal Gear Solid story is kind of convoluted. Eligible Monsters, go and check them out. They've done a whole bunch of Metal Gear Solid stuff and Resident Evil, that sort of stuff. Go and watch their videos on YouTube. Tell them I sent you. They'll be happy with you. But yeah, I think about, I mean, I've been watching their videos on Kingdom Hearts. That story confuses the shit out of me. It really does. But yeah, I mean, it does make you wonder. It's like, we have the games with the story that don't, I mean, to us, I mean, I'm looking at the Lego Batman 2. I mean, you know, the story was okay. It wasn't anything special. It was a Lego game. There was no real need for an ending with sort of feelings that we got with it, and we didn't. But I mean, other stuff like, I'm looking at Dragon's Dogma. I mean, I'm not even too sure what the hell the ending is that with that. I think about stuff like Dark Souls 2 or Dark Souls or Demon Souls, you know, either any one of those. What's going to happen? What happens at the end of them? Which, to be honest, I wouldn't mind having a look up. You know, Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I was very satisfied with that. We'd beaten the bad guys. We'd killed them all, basically. I mean, there's like three different endings to Grand Theft. Because basically it gives you a choice at the end. It's like, Matty says, is the game story ending shittiness on account of all the free agent studios? I don't know. Maybe it's the what's he on about now? Looking for new cows to milk instead of other stuff. Yeah, I'm thinking you mean like, you know, yeah, just telling the story for its own sake. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think maybe we said about, he says about here, about all the free agent studio. I mean, maybe too many cooks, you know, spoil the broth. Maybe that's what it is. But I mean, if you have a direction for stuff, that's the thing. We can attribute this to the TV shows. And we think about stuff, people were pissed off when the ending were Lost. To be honest, I never really got into that because it was so too boring. And Battlestar Galactica, when that ended, people weren't happy with that. But that's the thing. People were invested in the time to watch it. I mean, whenever The Walking Dead ends, which probably that show probably get cancelled in a few seasons anyway, you know, people want to have, as I say, people want to have some sort of, what the fuck am I trying to think? They want to get something back from putting so much time and effort into it. Matty says something here. Sega and Nintendo in-house studios were usually satisfying. But yeah, I mean, well, some of the stuff they've done. I mean, the problem with the recent Aliens game, people weren't too keen on that. But you know, it's hard for me to explain because you know my throat is really sore. But I mean, I'm just trying to think now where I can go with this. I probably should take a break in a few seconds, but I just want to keep going with this, to be honest. I mean, I was trying to think about other games that I've got on my list. I mean, the whole point with the ending that we get, it's supposed to give us the pat on the back that we want. I mean, I think about, I'll go back to Metal Gear Solid. When that ended, you know, because there's two endings to the first Metal Gear Solid. There's one where basically either you manage to, because there was, I think, when the torture scene, if you manage to survive it, not, you know, without any problems to it, you'd be, Meryl would live if you didn't give in to the torture. Whereas if you gave in to the torture, Meryl would kill. So basically, there's one ending where you and Otacon are basically on a snow bike, sort of, you know, riding off into the Alaskan frozen wasteland, where, you know, whereas the other one was like you and Meryl together. And, you know, I mean, that's probably one of the best games that I played at that current time in my life of playing games. I got satisfaction from it. You know, it, that's the thing. I could probably equate it to a complete feeling of self-satisfaction with myself, with that ending, as I can with The Last of Us. It's like, I can sit here, I've just played the ending, I'm, you know, I've done it. It's not exactly I've beaten the boss. Yay, Dr. Robotnik's dead. That sort of thing. It's from what I've seen and played, I have felt something inside myself, and it's made me feel better from it. You know, I've taken something that I've seen, like a visual medium, a gaming medium, something that I've played and enjoyed. That once it's over, I can go, yep, I'm complete as a person. There's no need for me to ask any more of the story. I'm hoping that, you know, when Assassin's Creed is sort of wrapped up, that we'll get that satisfactory feeling as well. But, to be honest, I need to know how we're going to start it. Because I said to you earlier, I said, well, you know, this could be my last one, or I don't know. I mean, I've played about 5 or 6 of them now. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm confused. It's just, I know, I just basically, with me, what I look for in these endings, like, I want some self-gratification that, or, well, gratification from what I've been playing that, Matty's asking about the Far Cry 3 ending. Yeah, Matty talks about Far Cry 3. I still haven't seen the other ending. I mean, I liked it. It was really good. I felt complete with that as well. Because basically, you know, you escape the island and you ride off into the sunset on your boat. But that's the thing. That's one of the things. I mean, that choice. Think about the endings now. He's going to be one of the big things that helps me decide what my game of the year is going to be. I think I already know, to be honest. It's sort of pegging me in the back. I'll rephrase that. It's sort of poking me in the head with what it could be. But I don't know. I need to sit down and think about this sort of stuff. And hopefully you lot are all at home, or wherever it is you're listening to this, are as well. You know. You know, think about your game of the year, because I'm going to ask you in a few weeks, a few months. You know, I want your, you know, game of the year suggestions. I'll read it out. What was the game that you and Royce argued over the ending of? I don't know. When was this? Make it a bit clearer for us, Matt. I'm just trying to think. Twilight Princess. No. What game is it me and Royce played? I mean, because, you know, even the people on my friends list, I don't play any games with any of them, because apart from Stuart, I'll wait for Matt to finish typing. But yeah, I say, you know, we want, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sort of probably at the end of this topic anyway, because I'm sort of thinking how we can go, but I pretty much said everything, to be honest. It's sort of, I want some sort of self-gratification from the game. I want it to feel that once I finished it, I've got the best experience from it. Bioshock Infinite. Yes. I can't remember what the fuck Royce was saying. I don't know if Royce is on Skype or anything. Oh, no, he's not. I think it was Bioshock Infinite. I mean, my whole purpose, I mean, I didn't really like, I could tell you one thing. Bioshock Infinite is not going to be my game of the year. My big thing with that game is like, yeah, it was good. The ending was kind of weird, to be honest. My whole problem with Bioshock Infinite is the story. I mean, the ending was okay, but it was basically the Fight Club ending. And I don't, if anyone's you should have finished Bioshock. Basically, the character you play, the Booker DeWitt, he is basically the man that you're supposed to find at the end of the game. The father, the, because basically, is it Elizabeth? I've totally pushed this game from my head. Basically, she's your daughter. The one you're supposed to find, she's your daughter. That's so weird, because it's all about different universes and dimensions. I would say, yeah. Oh, I know what you mean. Yes, sorry, I know what Matty means now. Yeah, because basically what happens at the end is Elizabeth takes you away and shows you that the lighthouse that you entered the game from is basically the same lighthouse that you started the game off in Bioshock and Bioshock 2. And basically how there's so many different universes with different possibilities. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I would have preferred it if it was self-contained amongst the story. Like, there was Columbia in the early 20s, you know, 20s, 10s. And then we had sort of Rapture in the 50s and 60s. But, you know, it's just one of those weird things. I mean, you know, I hate Bioshock Infinite. The game's fucking terrible. But yeah, I mean, the DLC's come out for it now. I'll probably watch some Eligible Monster videos on it and see what they do. But yeah, I say, you know, That's the thing about the endings. Sorry, I was going to say about this earlier, but Pokemon, when that game ends, it's basically, you know, you beat the Elite Four, you join the Hall of Champions, you know, and then basically there's like a big sort of procession for you, like a parade in Lumio City. And then, because basically the whole story is that there was a king who built this weapon, like 3,000 years ago, to do something. I didn't pay much attention. I just didn't care. It's just Team Flare is just a fucking joke. But then at the end, you fight this just a 3,000-year-old king, and you know I sort of one-shotted his Pokemon anyway. And then this Pokemon that he had resurrected comes back to see him, and you know, and it's a really good ending. You know, as being what it was, how it presented to us, but. I don't know. I need to take a break because my throat is fucking killing me. I say I'll be back in about 10 minutes. Go and get yourself a drink, something to eat, and I'll be back after these messages.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe. Nobody does that.
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Dang.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining next?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice. They're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. I told you.
I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! God, oh, no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
Not painful. That. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Thank you.
You're okay.
Well, I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Oh, Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death as a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Put him up back.
What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout.
Did you want something?
No, not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. Came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another woman's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You got a friend called Vulva. Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, wait, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. Not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the last 45 minutes of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I say this final part just got sexy. I just took my jeans off because my rash is really hurting my legs. And when I walk, and the jeans, so I thought a bit of air and freedom should do the rash a bit better. But yeah, I say that was a good old fun first part, talking about, you know, endings and stuff. I mean, you know, I enjoyed it. It was, you know, listen to me ramble for a decent half an hour, trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. But no, I say, you know, whatever. No, I say it was quite fun. I mean, next week's topic, I'm thinking about the main character, a main character topic, like how do we want our character to be? Is it, are all the characters basically with gaming, are they good versus evil, or is it something in between? I don't know. You know, that's what I say. I'm going to post the topic later in the Facebook group so that, you know, everyone can have their comments, and you know, it's just something for next week I'm thinking of. I do plan on doing like a DLC sort of topic eventually. I've just got to do some bit of research on that first. But I'll go into the news stuff while I've got a bit of time left. As usual, I'll start off with the Nintendo stuff because there's not much here. Zelda Direct talks about why annualization doesn't work for the series. Though The Legend of Zelda, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD only took about 6 months to develop, it's easy to forget there was a time when three Zelda games hit home consoles in 4 years. Zelda series director Eiji Anuma told Shack News the series briefly flirted with the annualization. But it doesn't fit with Mountain expectations. Anuma said Shigeru Miyamoto himself proposed that Majora's Mask could be released just a year after Ocarina of Time, which debuted in 98 on the N64. It ended up releasing 2 years later. Then Wind Waker hit the GameCube 2 years later after that. In the intervening decade, only two home console Zelda games, Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword, were created. Though several portable titles did fill the gap. Yeah, we had like the Minish Cap and the Four Swords and all the basic stuff we've had on the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Advanced, SP. 3DS, DS, yeah, all that stuff. It says, I think before we might try to make Zelda games come out faster, Onuma said, but there's so much expected of Zelda titles now, so you have to reach a certain level of quality. So that's why we started to take a bit more time now. Which makes sense. I mean, as I say, I said this last week about, you know, delays and stuff. Take your time. There's no hurry. I mean, we can wait. I mean, people waited, you know, it was 2 years after Ocarina of Time that we got Majora's Mask, but I can guarantee that people still played Ocarina of Time 2 years after it came out. I mean, I'm playing it now, 13, 14 years after it came out, I'm still playing it, and, you know. I can't read it. A Link Between Worlds is set for release in November. It's 3D, top-down take on the Link to the Past. may make it the most tempting portable title yet for the long-standing fans of the series. But the untitled Wii U Zelda remains unseen and undated. It's not like we feel that we have a duty to get 1 out a year, Anuma said. Right now, we're able to split ourselves between handheld and console games and have two teams. I think we're pretty efficient in getting games out on a regular interval. And, you know, that's good, I guess. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not the biggest Zelda fan out there. I mean, you know, a friend of mine, Ak, you know, from Talk Radio Meltdown, he's a big Zelda person. I mean, I think I've played, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Link to the Past. I think I played, like, for a few seconds some of the Game Boy Advance ones we got. I'm not a big Zelda fan. I mean, it's quite weird. I see all these sort of good sort of graphics and CGI work for, you know, a possible Zelda game that, you know, they use the top-end specs to make a Zelda model in 3D and in CGI, and, like, yeah, that'd be nice to make a game that looks like that, but you don't make a game that looks like that. I mean, you had something that was, you know, back in the day was pretty good with Ocarina of Time. I mean, it looks amazing now on the 3DS, to be honest. But with the, you know, if your graphics are better on these consoles, try to start proving it by giving these, you know, giving some experts some time to the, to the games that we want to see, you know, to the Zelda that we want to see, the Zelda we want to play. But, you know, most of that stuff has been done before, and, you know, if you do an annualization, you're just basically, you know, killing it quicker and quicker. I mean, you know, as I said before, before the break, this could be my last Assassin's Creed, and we had stuff with, I think it was Activision with Guitar Hero, how they sort of ran that into the ground. But yeah, it's just, you know, if it doesn't fit the whole... Well, that's the thing. I mean, Charles, from what I've been hearing, I'm thinking now, you know, speaking out loud again, with Zelda, I mean, people do want to play more Zelda. I mean, there was people who weren't happy with how Wind Waker was compared to stuff like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. It was like, you go from having sort of 3D character models to a basically a sort of, not 2D, but a cell shaded, a different art style, basically, take on a Zelda game. But, you know, I mean, we've had like stuff like with Paper Mario and that sort of stuff. But I'll go on to something different. I've got this from Games Radar. European delays for the Wii U and 3DS Batman Arkham Origins. Warner Brother has delayed the Wii U and physical PC versions of Batman Arkham Origins, as well as the 3D version, Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate, by 2 weeks in Europe. In a statement issued to Eurogamer, the publisher confirmed that the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC digital PC editions of Arkham Origins will launch as scheduled on October 25th, which is this Friday. The Vita version of Blackgate. The delayed versions of the games will now hit European stores on November 8th. All versions will launch in North America on October 25th as planned. Arkham Origins for consoles is a prequel. Blah, blah, blah. No fucking cares. But yeah, I say, to be honest though, I mean, if you're going to buy, you know, Batman Arkham Origins, you're not going to be buying it for your Wii U. You'll be probably buying the Blackgate one for the 3DS because that actually looks quite interesting. But, you know, unless you're buying unless you're buying a main Nintendo property, Mario, Zelda, Metroid, that sort of stuff, there's no need for anyone else to buy anything that's not a Nintendo-centric game for the Wii U. But, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I say it's coming out in a couple of days. I can't wait. You know, I'll see how it goes with everything. I mean, the multiplayer and stuff, I think, not multiplayer, the challenge room stuff, I'm not that fussed about when I do get to try it. But, I don't know. Some Pokemon stuff here. From Games Radar saying Nintendo is preparing to fix. Preparing a fix for the Pokemon X and Y save glitch. Now, this is the save glitch. If you save in the streets around Lumino City, basically it can corrupt your game save. So you recommend either saving in the buildings or leaving the city entirely to save. I don't think I've actually encountered this problem. I think I might have saved in the streets and stuff, but never really had the problem. They're working on a fix. Hopefully it'll be good. I'm not too fussed, to be honest. I mean, I'm done with the game. I've finished pretty much in Lumio City. I mean, there's some stuff that I want to do in there to get my style stuff up. I'm not exactly sure the style points or whatever it is. Try and get that, but, yeah. Here we go. I'll go into some sort of Sony-centric stuff now. This is off Games Radar as well. Sons of stuff off Games Radar this week. Good stuff this week. Sony confirms Drive Club delay. Sony has delayed the release of the PlayStation 4 Racer Drive Club from this November to early 2014, which I reckon probably March. The difficult decision to push back Evolution Studios' game was explained by Shuhei Yoshida, president of Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide Studios, in a post on the PlayStation blog. Drive Club will be truly innovative, socially connected racing game. But the team requires much more time in order to deliver on their vision. He says, "I'm fully confident the game will surpass your expectations," he said. "We understand the delay is disappointing news, but we can assure you that the reason we have made this decision is to ensure that when Drive Club launches, it will realize the next gen racing vision." Drive Club is a really ambitious racing title, and the game is looking stunning. The extra time we're giving the team means the visuals and overall experience are only to get better. We can assure you that it will be worth the wait. A free stripped-down version of the game features less cars and tracks will be offered to PlayStation Plus members when the title releases, but not in time for the PlayStation 4 launch as previously planned. For the PlayStation 4 launch, in addition to Resogun, Sony will now offer a free copy of Contrast to PlayStation Plus members as part of the Instant Game Collection. The company also announced plans to offer offer Plus members access to exclusive open weekend Killzone Shadowfall multiplayer trial on December 28th and 29th. So basically, once you're done with your Pokemon transferring on the 27th, you can play Killzone Shadowfall. I'm not too fussed about this. I do want a PlayStation. I do want a PlayStation 4, but I'm not getting Drive Club. I mean, because when eventually I do get my Xbox One, I will be buying Forza 5, because that's my main thing. If there's a demo that comes out, I will be playing a demo on the PlayStation 4. But, you know, when it comes to sort of racing stuff, my main thing is Forza. You know, as you've heard me say several times, I tried to get into Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo, I've got it right this time. But, you know, it's not really happening, to be honest. I got this from IGN. This is from a couple of weeks ago. I've been holding on to for a while. PlayStation 3 support will continue for at least the next couple of years. Sony will continue to support the PlayStation for at least the next couple of years, despite the imminent release of the PlayStation 4. That's according to the Worldwide Studio boss Shuhei Yoshida, who told Games Industry that while he was skeptical the PlayStation 3 would enjoy fresh content for as long as the PlayStation 2 did, Sony isn't about to abandon the console in the near future. I was just thinking, look, from what I've been hearing from PlayStation 4 and stuff, it's like a couple of years is good for the PlayStation 3, because then I don't really use it, to be honest. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. But yeah, so PlayStation 3 has been doing great, but it's not like everyone owns a PlayStation 3 already, he explained. This is Yoshida. There's always a group of consumers who come late to this in the cycle, people who wait for the price to come down. We're expanding geographically as well. The demand from Latin America, for example, is really strong for the PlayStation 3. Yes, all those drug barons. So we'll have a parallel strategy with the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, like we had between PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3. God, how many times have I got to say this? PlayStation 3 launched in 2006. Holy shit. In the sixth year of PlayStation 2, but PlayStation 2 lasted for another 5 years. I don't know if the PlayStation 3 will last another 5 years. No, it won't. Definitely not for the next couple of years because of the price difference. The great library of games and publisher side being able to support both. Yeah, that's the thing, because considering how much money it costs to make a game these days, I can't really see the big, I can't really see the end game for PlayStation 3 lasting as much as PlayStation 2 did. You know, they said here, 5 years. I'm going to say at least two or three. I mean, come when the PlayStation 4 comes out, Ratchet and Clank, the new Ratchet and Clank game comes out, and I'm going to be buying that for my PlayStation 3. There's nothing to it. I mean, it's like the PlayStation 3 to me is basically what the original Xbox was to the PlayStation 2. I mean, the Xbox 360 dominated this current generation with gaming. I mean, we're only just having now that the PlayStation 3 is outselling the Xbox 360. It's little too much, even though it's winning the sort of race, to be honest, it's still too little too late, considering that in a few weeks we're going to have brand new consoles to play. And then, I won't be able to buy my one for another year, because basically, yes, I do want a PlayStation 4 first. There's no exclusivities. There's nothing that's, a PlayStation 4 game on its own. Whereas, you think about stuff like, Watch Dogs. I'm going to buy that on my Xbox 360, if that hasn't fucking died to death already, if I was going to buy it. I mean, Destiny, I'm probably going to get on the PlayStation 4, I think. I want to try and sort something out and start in the MLR Gamer Lobby group, because, so that way we can all have the same game if we're playing Destiny, and who's playing Destiny, and we all get it on the same console on the side, so we can all play together. We set up a group for Grand Theft Auto for the Xbox lot, mate Sean did for the show, but haven't played anything online, mainly because of all the problems, but, I'm sort of done with the online for Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I'm going to do a bits and pieces here and there to, there's an achievement I can get as soon as I get that money that we're supposedly owed, which I'll read about in a sec. But some of the stuff, it's, I don't know. We'll wait and see. To be honest, we'll see how it plans out with whatever other games that are still to come out on the PlayStation 3, and how, PlayStation 4 does at launch. We'll wait and see. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks, and I know I'll have tons of news articles about it. I'll carry on reading this article. I'll just finish it off. It says there'll even be new games. We were talking about indie games. Maybe indie games announced at Gamescom were for games coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and PlayStation 3. These guys also support multi-generation platforms, so there'll continue to be a great supply. Of games. Jeez, how long is this fucking on? Oh, no, just a bit more. Despite pledging continued support for the PlayStation 3, Yoshida did acknowledge that naturally the number of AAA games being developed for the platform would probably start declining. Which is, considering that the last game that did come out for the PlayStation 2 was FIFA 14. And that's, can be considered the AAA game, even though it's just, the annual old sports game that we get every year. Specifically about the Worldwide Studios development efforts, he revealed that their focus is currently being shifted from the current console to the PlayStation 4, as it would be. You don't want to spend so much money on a previous generation console when you can spend all this more money on the new console and charge a higher price for games and, cover all your bases, make all your money. Our large teams are shifting, transitioning from PlayStation 3 to 4. And it continues on Vita as well. Yeah, like people want to play the fucking Vita. He said, but for our digital releases, we always look at PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Vita. Many games like, what the fuck is that? Ho Ho Kum or Doki Doki Universe, we have announced for the PlayStation 3 and 4 at the same time. We'll continue to support the PlayStation 3 in a way that makes sense, especially the digital game, the digital games that we work on. But our larger teams, our AAA releases, are transitioning from PlayStation 3 to 4. Yeah, it's, you know, good for you. You continue to work on it. But, you know, that's the thing. See, I mean, the new consoles, even though they are working on it, they're still not going to work on it. You're not going to want to work on it that long. But, you know, all right, well, let's Here we go. This is some stuff here that I saw. Hang on. All right, we'll go with this one first. There's a whole show, about 20 minutes to get through some stuff, and there's some good articles that I want to have a read of. This is from IGN. Watch Dogs and the Crew expected sales figures revealed. Ubisoft revealed... For the hack-centric Watch Dogs, Ubisoft is predicting a sales of 6.2 million units. While this is fairly high, considering that's about half of what Grand Theft Auto V sold, the strong pre-order numbers reference this morning that the suggested that the companies believe this is a realistic goal. When it comes to the crew, the developer has modest expectations of 2.5 million, considering that that's what they wanted to sell Tomb Raider. It was supposed to be at 2.5 million, and that didn't really make it either. This is supposedly due to the title having a more limited potential. The fact that no one really gives a shit about it is a basic translation. Due to the fact that it's a racing game, as well as the fact that it's coming on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, compared to Watch Dogs multi-platform suite. But I mean, yes, Watch Dogs, that's understandable. I mean, the game looks amazing. I can't wait to play it when it does come out. No doubt it will probably sell so many units and make so much more money. But that's the thing. That's the thing as well. When you think about stuff, you know, the previous articles compared to this one, it's like, well, you want to sell 6.2 million units of Watch Dogs. I think GTA 5 is selling, what, 14, 15 million units? And, you know, made $1.5 billion. You know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, because you think about the price as well. What are you going to buy a game on? If it's $70 for Watch Dogs on a PlayStation 4, whereas it's $60 on the PlayStation 3. You know, you're still going to make the money for the company, but you're just going to buy it on a cheaper thing. It's just basically why they want to transition to the higher end consoles, you know, PlayStation 4 instead of 3. You know what I'm trying to say. Just found this other article from IGN as well. Call of Duty players aren't hardcore gamers, says Infinity Ward. Despite this, he reckons their loyalty to the franchise is unwavering. Call of Duty developer Infinity Ward has suggested that the people most engaged with the franchise aren't really gamers at all, as they don't play any titles that aren't affiliated with the series. I've talked about this before. I've said, well, there's people who buy the FIFA every year, they buy the Madden every year, they buy the Call of Duty. Of course they're not hardcore gamers. If they're just buying one game, I mean, a hardcore gamer is someone who buys, in my opinion, who buys a plethora of games, who buys different games from different genres. I mean, I'm a hardcore gamer. Stuart's a hardcore gamer. Royce is a hardcore gamer. You know, Dark Fox is a hardcore gamer. Dutch is a hardcore gamer. You know, a whole bunch of people in the station who work for the station, we're all hardcore gamers. We buy different things. We don't just buy one thing every year. We buy different things to suit what we want, you know. Yes, here we go. That's according to exclusive executive producer Mark Rubin, who told OXM that he didn't expect the imminent arrival of the next-gen consoles to have much of an impact on the makeup of COD's audience. No, of course not. There's sort of battle lines drawn between the Battlefield series as a whole and the Call of Duty series as a whole, whereas you've got, Medal of Honor, that's pretty much... that sort of walked out into the middle of both of them, looked at both of them, pulled a gun out and shot itself in the head. I'll read this part of the article here. It says, regardless of the platform, people's gaming habits aren't going to change just because there's a new platform. This is what Mark Rubin said. We have an enormous amount of players who are more in the casual game space, but they play a lot. It's kind of weird. It's a kind of a weird, ironic thing to say. They aren't hardcore gamers or even gamers. They play Call of Duty every night. Yeah, that's where we get the bloody professional bullshitty teams. And those, tangents like for a second, because I saw something that just made me fucking feel really sick. They were looking at something on Kotaku about, there's some guy who plays League of Legends, makes nearly $1 million a year. There is too much money in this in fucking League of Legends. There shouldn't be this amount of money in fucking esports. Esports are a fucking joke, people. It sort of feels like you're basically just sort of taking a burning hot poker and just poking at the whole gaming community. It's like, we don't want this shit. I mean, you know, gaming is supposed to be fun. And if you put money on it, it becomes a job. Then it loses the fun value. I mean, yes, there's some who say, "Oh yeah, I'm still having fun while earning money." But yeah, you're making us feel sorry for you, because you turn something that's fun, enjoyable, a party atmosphere. You know, half the people who have their Wiis and just sort of, we'll have a Wii party. Get a dozen nunchuck controllers and just do Wii bowling like a family sort of thing. And then, there's people like me, Royce, will get on Grand Theft Auto and we'll just destroy stuff. We wouldn't think about doing stuff like that professionally. It's all there to have fun. When you put money on it as you're earning money from doing something that's fun, it becomes a job. And then it stops being fun and it just becomes a chore. I just thought I'd get me opinion out there. But yeah, I say, this article was a joke. I mean, it was quite funny though, because everyone was slating on this guy on the Kotaku page. Saying about how he's massive, tall, and, it's like, well, fuck, you're taking the fun out of it. I do need to go back and have a look to see what my responses are and anyone like my comments. Where was I? Just trying to think. And those guys are going to continue playing because of the platform, so I think not only will we continue to engage with that existing player base, but we'll take next gen and see how far we'll go with that. That's what I'm looking forward to see. It's like, are people just going to buy the next gen consoles? Because considering that when we did get the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, the past couple of years we've had Call of Duty selling out more and more each year, but the console prices have gone down, so more people have bought the console and they'll just buy their one game and that'll be fine for them. I don't know, I'm probably just shooting myself in the foot there as well, because thinking, well, all I'm going to, from the non-hardcore game, it's like, well, all I'm going to play is Call of Duty, and this console costs me so much money. Would you do something to play? Would you buy a console just to play one game on it? And if it costs that much, would you wait? I mean, I don't know. It's sort of, there's some that will, put the money forward just to play one game. But then there's some who won't, who will just sort of, who won't do that. But, it's all basically down to the player base, to be honest, and what they want to do. Last week, Call of Duty publisher Activision threw the gauntlet, warning GTA dev Rockstar that Ghost will be snatching back all the records GTA 5 has managed to accrue since its release. I've got this article as well. One sec. Show material. Here we go. Yeah. Got this off IGN. It's coming out about a week ago. GTA 5. Call of Duty wants its records back. Scroll too far, as usual. Yeah, Call of Duty Ghost publisher Activision has thrown down the gauntlet, warning Grand Theft Auto 5's developer Rockstar not to get too comfortable with with all the records it's broken. In an interview with MCV, UK senior brand manager Kevin Flynn, he's trying to get out of the grid, dismissed the idea that, Jesus, that poor bastard, dismissed the idea that the Call of Duty brand is in decline. I don't think it is. Arguing the imminent release of Call of Duty Ghost will be a wake-up call to other companies that think they dominate the marketplace. Congrats to the Rockstar. This is what he says. Congratulations to the team at Rockstar for their success, he said. Before adding, we look forward to getting the records back before the next GTA title. Yeah, well, that's shit. You've got about 7 years then before we do get another Grand Theft Auto. We know that an unaired awareness for Ghost is leading the way against other unreleased AAA titles. Our digital content has proven extremely popular, and Black Ops 2 has sold more than 3 million units in the UK. For anyone not in the loop, Grand Theft Auto currently holds 7 Guinness World Records and managed to snatch several of those from the Call of Duty franchise, including the fact that it's now the UK's fastest-selling game ever. Call of Duty goes set to release PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PC, Wii U on November the 5th. Oh, wow. That's so close. My throat is really going... PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions will be available when the consoles launch. I better pre-order bloody Call of Duty as well. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get it. I don't think that Call of Duty is going to take the crown away from Grand Theft, to be honest. I mean, I'm not saying that I want to see it happen, you know, because I want Grand Theft Auto to hold on to this crown as long as possible. But the thing is, though, I think there's going to be some sort of wangling with it, with Activision's going to pull some sort of bullshit like, yeah, we've sold so many million units, and our DLC has sold this many units, and they add it together, and they come up with that bullshit figure, which is basically what I don't want, considering the fact that, you know, 7 Guinness World Records, it's made $1.5 billion, sold 15 million units roughly in about, you know, 2-3 weeks, and, you know, it's set up all the lights, and this is without DLC, whereas, you know, but we'll wait and see how it does. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks, hang on one sec, let me check. Holy shit, 2 weeks away, fuck. I need to see, I've got so much more to buy next month. It's only like 2 weeks away. We'll see how that goes. And it's a global release as well, I think. I'll get rid of that for now. This is my gent. Square Enix forms a committee to oversee Final Fantasy. The classic JRPG series has faced several miscues in the recent years. Square Enix has established a committee to oversee... Yeah, I've just read that bit. A recent report from Japanese site FF Reunion suggested a committee has been put together for the purpose of keeping an eye on the quality of the Final Fantasy franchise, which has seen some tough times in recent years. Among those said to be on the committee are Naoki Yoshida, former Dragon Quest director. Oh, I love Dragon Quest. And current director and producer of Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. Tabata, director on Crisis Core, Final Fantasy 7. That was on the PSP. And Final Fantasy Agito, and also the Tetsuya. Along with Tetsuya Nomura. Final Fantasy, Jesus Christ. All these basically people who had, like, directors, mostly a whole bunch of names, my Japanese is shit, so I'm not going to pronounce them all. Basically, you've got people from, a director on the Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2, one of the guys who was involved with Final Fantasy 7 and 8. Square Enix's confirmation of the committee's existence didn't extend to the members of the committee itself, instead telling IGN that more information would be available shortly. Final Fantasy has in the minds of many not been at the top of its game for some time now. Yeah, since 9. Since 10, because 10 was amazing. A great deal of criticism was levelled at Final Fantasy 13 for being so linear. But the thing, to be honest, 10 was quite linear as well, but the story was there, and it was interesting. Great deal of criticism was levelled at Final Fantasy 13 for being so linear. Toriyama, the game's director, later admitted was fair, basically, he says. Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 14, the series' second attempt at an MMORPG, started off poorly enough that its subscription fee was dropped for more than a year. Its relaunch as A Realm Reborn, directed by Yoshida, who replaced Final Fantasy 14's original director, Hiromichi Tanaka, turned out much better than its early incarnation, but the brand was, by Square Enix's own admission, greatly damaged. And then there's the iOS title for Final Fantasy, All the Bravest, a title that IGN's review described as having no gameplay, being nothing more than a cash grab. Nonetheless, I'm saying that, though. I mean, just how many fucking offshoots of Final Fantasy have they had come out, and, you know, the movies, and, you know, nonetheless, Final Fantasy continues to move ahead with, God, my throat's killing me. Final Fantasy with, what the fuck is that? 14 having officially relaunched this summer. Final Fantasy 15, formerly Final Fantasy versus 13, is the works in the works for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Oh, okay, yeah, I've got to buy that. I need to buy, yeah, I do need to buy an Xbox, PlayStation 4 for that anyway. With multiple direct sequels planned for the future. I don't see, that's the thing. That's, see, they're going down the fucking Dennis Dyack route. He said about Two Humans, yeah, I want to make it a trilogy. And the first game was terrible, and no one wanted to play it, and no one loved it. But yeah, to be honest, wait for the game to come out. Don't start, this is the thing, don't start chatting all your bullshit about you want to see sequels for games that haven't even come out yet. I mean, I liked Final Fantasy X. I mean, say, that's the thing as well, I should have mentioned as well. Final Fantasy X's ending, the game really did a lot for me, and then when it came to the ending where it turns out that the main character was a ghost, it wasn't, not a ghost, but it was a dream, basically, and not a real person, and, you know, that was heartbreaking, you know, for the, I think, you know, but you've made, God, I hate to see this, it's like, we got Final Fantasy X, we got Final Fantasy X-2, then we got Final Fantasy XIII, Final Fantasy XIII-2, and now we got, was it the Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII, the third game in the Final Fantasy XIII series? I don't want to see Final Fantasy XV, Final Fantasy XV-2, Final Fantasy XV-3, Final Fantasy XV-4. Guys, you have no idea. It's basically what's their problem is that they need story, they need content. I mean, the graphics, yes, your graphics are great, but you just need the story content. You're just not having it. Was it 12? I can't remember what the story for 12 was. 13, there were crystals, and it's like, no, just stop it. They need to have good storytellers. That's the thing. That's one of the things that makes up a great game. It's the story. You've got to tell a good story. Otherwise, people don't want to play it or give a shit about it. I don't know, these people. This pretty much wraps up the end of the show. I've sort of come to the end of my time today. But I say, you know, thanks for listening, everyone. But I say next week, topic is going to be on basically the main character. What you feel about how the main character should be, what we'd like to see. Is it basically a sort of good versus evil kind of thing? Or, you know, whatever we get to be honest with the main character. How should they be? I mean, we look at characters like, you know, Nathan Drake and Lara Croft and, you know, the Borderlands characters, Metro Last Light, are they good versus evil, or is that how we develop our characters? Or I don't know. We'll see how it goes when I eventually sort of get to it. But don't forget, so if you want to call in the show, just add Antisocial Game Radio to your Skype contacts. If you want to email us, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to get on the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like our Facebook page, we're 71 now, trying to get more, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio, and also on Twitter, @MLRGamerRadio as well. So basically get on Twitter, you know, send me a message saying that you're following us and I'll follow you back. That way you're trying to avoid all the spam, but lucky enough I've sort of avoided all the spam, which is quite good to be honest. excuse me, sorry, my voice is going. But yeah, so next week for the UK, I think we're starting at 9 o'clock, so it'll be 9 to 11, but it'll still be 3 p.m. Eastern in America. But I don't need to, I'll double check, and I'll post on the Facebook and I'll post in the Twitter once I find out. But I'm not too sure yet, because I'm no good with this time stuff. I'm hoping it is an hour later instead of like beginning of the year when it was an hour beforehand and I had to sort of get home, literally 15 minutes set up and then come and do the show straight away. It'd be a bit of pain. But yeah, so, you know, I've had quite a fun doing a show today. I mean, your voice is killing me, but, you know, there's plenty more games that I've got to play. We've got Batman coming out next week, and then we've got, Yeah, so we've got Batman this week, we've got Assassin's Creed next week, and then we've got Call of Duty the week after. And I think Battlefield 4 is the week after that. So basically, there's so much stuff to come out. I can't wait. It's the big final push now before the end of the year, and then we got the big Game of the Year show literally on the final day of this year, which is lucky for me. So it really is a end of the year Game of the Year show. But yeah, so thanks to everyone listening tonight, and I'll see you all again next week. Slightly different time for the UK listeners, but the same time for the American listeners. Have fun, people, and I'll speak to you lots soon.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.